Chapter 54, in which two droids trip and stumble through a forest. When our heroes awake, they find the village nearly deserted. There were an abundance of very young and very old Ewoks, but all those able to join the fight had risen and followed Chirpa, Teebo, and Asha into the forest. There was much work to be done. Wicket tries to explain this to C-3PO, who tries to explain it to Solo, who doesn't quite grasp the importance of the words. The important thing to him is that a few Ewoks, Ramba, Wicket, and Paplu, are still here to help them find the easiest way to the rendezvous point. Ramba is the official guide. Chirpa decreed that Wicket and Paplu were too young to join the main Ewok fighting force. But if he thinks they're going to just sit around the village all day, he's crazy. Even with the Ewok's help, it is a frustrating journey, with C-3PO seeming to fall over every root or clump of ferns, and R2 needing to be lifted over dead logs. Leia has to remind Solo, who has, I fear, uttered some impolite language, how useful the droids have been already. And in any case, it is quite necessary to have R2, since he is best able to home in on the coordinates of the rendezvous site, which they eventually do, albeit with very little time to spare. The Rebel strike team is indeed there. Solo feels a little foolish introducing them to the Ewoks, but these soldiers are all veterans, and they know the importance of having someone on a mission who understands the lay of the land. And that's exactly what Ramba can offer them. He, unlike any of the other Ewoks, is a native of this part of the forest. His village once stood not far from here, and he knows every tree and every path. First, he leads the team to a bit of high ground. From here, Solo gets his first look at the military base and shield generator that he has promised to destroy. It is an intimidating sight, a complex of industrial buildings sprawling under an enormous landing pad, and even more enormous shield casters. An AT-AT stomps around near the only entrance gate, while several AT-STs bustle about importantly. Guard towers top the thick, high wall, and biker scouts zip about in front of it. Chewie lets out a low growl, and Solo and Leia exchange looks. There's muttering among the troops, and that's never a good sign.
"The control bunker's on the far side of that landing platform," says Leia. "This isn't going to be easy."
"Hey, don't worry," responds Solo. "Chewie and me have gotten into a lot of places more heavily guarded than this."
But Leia knows Solo's bluster by now, and she knows that he's as worried as she is. Ramba tugs at Leia's sleeve, chattering away.
"What's he saying?"
she asks C-3PO. And now, listener, we see how even a protocol droid can play a pivotal role in a galactic war. What a chain of chance that brought C-3PO here. Built by young Anakin on Tatooine, hauled back and forth across the galaxy on missions he never quite understood, blasted to bits on Cloud City, picked at by Salacious Crumb, stumbling, tripping, plodding, and always complaining and almost always left behind, he has somehow made it here, to the middle of this forest, where he can save the lives of the whole strike team with the power of his 6 million language interpreting system. Chance? Or the Force? Or just the old Han Solo luck? We really don't have time to get into it now, because C-3PO is listening to Ramba and announcing,
"He says there's a secret entrance on the other side of the ridge."
Well, that changes everything.
"A back door, eh? Good idea," says Solo, greatly relieved.
Half an hour later, the strike team has reassembled in another part of the forest, and Solo and Leia survey the scene from behind a fallen log. A low bunker is built into a hill. True, it has a thick Imperial Standard blast door, but our heroes have the code, thanks to the Bothan spies. And here, the only guards are 4 biker scouts. 4 rather bored biker scouts, in fact. They've been stationed back here for months without seeing the least bit of action, and they're currently leaning against the bunker, complaining about it, as bored troopers are wont to do.
"Thank goodness," says Leia. "We're running out of time."
"It's only a few guards. It shouldn't be too much trouble," says Han.
"Well, it only takes one to sound the alarm."
"Then we'll do it real quiet-like," says Solo, with a grin that is so perfectly self-confident that it really deserves a clever description.
But again, there is no time, because the grin disappears a second later when C-3PO interrupts.
Oh, bye.
"Quiet!" hiss Leia and Solo at the same time. But C-3PO isn't just complaining this time.
"I'm afraid our furry companion has gone and done something rather rash."
He points, and they turn back to the bunker just in time to see Paplu scramble onto a speeder bike, flip some switches, possibly at random, and go roaring away into the forest, clinging to the handlebars, lasers blasting and repulsor lift engines screeching.
"Ichiwama!"
"There goes our surprise attack," groans Solo.
Agrees Chewie. But they're both wrong.
Three of the four scouts jump onto the three remaining bikes and shoot off after Paplu,
who leads them on a merry, if somewhat death-defying, chase through the trees before grabbing hold of a vine to swing unnoticed and unharmed up into a tree, while his speeder bike and the troopers on their bikes streak on through the forest.
"Not bad for a little furball," says Han,
as the speeder bikes disappear into the trees.
"Only one guard left. Let's go."
He turns to go, then remembers that he still wants to do this quietly. He turns back and points at R2-D2 and C-3PO.
"Stay here."
Han and Chewie sneak up behind the distracted, bikeless guard, while Leia leads the strike team toward the bunker. R2 gives a low whistle and rocks impatiently, but C-3PO doesn't budge.
"I have decided that we shall stay here,"